Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong on this special edition of Prophetic Wednesday. Dun, dun, dun. God bless you so much and welcome. Guys, I am super, super, super blessed to be here with you today and the special guest that's going to be joining me because, man, we're going to be talking about time. That's right. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Of course, I got to mention some other huge prophetic events that are taking place, including the blood moon that happened this morning here on the 1st of Sivan on the Hebrew calendar. On the 6th of Sivan is when we recognize most of our Hebrew brothers throughout the world will recognize that is the giving of the Torah. It is a month of being consecrated to the Word of God. On the Gregorian calendar, the full moon was called the flower moon, right? And then, of course, it was also a supermoon. Supermoon. All those things coming together, if that was a dream, what would that mean? It's one of the ways that you live a prophetic lifestyle is literally looking at everything through the lens of Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, even his eternal powerhead, are clearly seen. Even his eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That you can literally see the hidden things through the understanding of the things that are going on around you, or as King Jesus himself says, the kingdom of heaven is just like that. Boom. Friends, we've been doing a whole lot of filming here over the past couple of days. And yesterday, I was talking with some friends in the midst of doing some podcasts, in the midst of doing some fun things. We're just talking about the times and the seasons that all of us are living in. And today we're going to get into the timeline. We're going to get into times and seasons. We're going to talk about different kinds of time. And the guest that I have here today, he actually is going to introduce us to four new lenses of how to view time. And you're going to like that. Now, I do want to tell you guys that right now we're in the process of standing with Israel in an accelerated way, which is another form of time, by the way, accelerated time. I will get off into that. And if you want to help us stand with Israel, we have a bundle of all of my redeeming your timeline things, all my swag, man, you're going to love it. And what's real is all of that money is going to go towards Israel, and I'm going to give you some free stuff. I will present that bundle to you at the end of this, and you're going to like that. Awesome. Welcome, my friends, to Prophetic Wednesday. Glad, glad, glad that you guys are here. Okay, let's get off into this, and let's do this. And don't forget that at the end of this, I'm going to tell you about how we're supporting Israel, how you can stand with us if you're interested in doing that, and then what I'll give you if you do that, because it's a bundle of all my Redeeming Your Timeline stuff. But guys, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Today is a great day. It's a good day to be alive. How many of you guys saw the blood moon today? How many of you guys saw it? Like, oh man, I got up early this morning. I watched it. It was crazy. It was cray cray. And no, it was cool. Got up early this morning, went outside and looked at it and went, yep. There it is, a sign in the moon. Now, if you join us on Wednesdays and I start talking about the difference between signs and the sun and the moon and the stars, one of the things I always say is that you do need to know that Jesus Christ himself was speaking into the future. He was talking to this generation when he said there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and also in the stars. Meaning, hey, you're going to have critics that say God doesn't talk like that. Jesus is saying, no, there's signs. What is a prophetic sign? It's a prophetic declaration, right? So he's like, okay, there will be things that will be prophetically declared that must be searched out, right? And he said three different kinds of platforms, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And when it comes to a message that's given through the platform of the sun, God Almighty is speaking to the nations. When he's speaking through the platform of the moon, he is speaking to his covenant people, whether that is Israel or whether that is his bride, right? The church. And whenever he's speaking through the stars, he is typically speaking to his children of covenant. Yeah. And so there is a sign in the moon, and it happens on the month that you get consecrated towards the word of God. Friends, this is a great time. If we're going to look at the heavens as a giant clock that points to the Redeemer and that tells the redemption story, and that only the Redeemer can bring redemption, which is Jesus Christ himself, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's him, the author and the finisher of all things, right? If that's what we're going to do, then we have to be willing to press in and to actually get in alignment on that. When the Lord started giving me this big revelation about redeeming your timeline and how God loves to interact with time and the importance of getting really good at time, of having mastery in your life as far as time goes, and I'm not just talking about time management, I'm talking about understanding time and walking in the correct flow of your timeline. I knew that, okay, if I got to get, there's certain things that all human beings have to get good at. One is marriage. You got to get really good at relationships. Another one is finances, right? Another one is the health of your physical body. But here's another one that most of us tend to miss is we need to have true mastery and our understanding of our own timelines. When I begin to study and begin to look all this out, I begin to see that the Word of God begins to give us different views of time and different kinds of time. Like, what? Like, yeah. No, it's real. Like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you and I understand the perspective of time as far as past, present, and future, right? Okay, and that just depends upon our personal firmament or our personal field of view, all right? But there's also such thing as accelerated time. There's also a such thing as halted time. We know that Brother Einstein came out with the theory of relativity, and he actually upgraded his theory of relativity into the theory of special relativity, and he began to upgrade his revelation in that, and he mapped it out for all the rest of us to be able to follow. But he said, look, time is relative. Time is constant. Time is always the same until it comes into contact with other things. One, you know, maybe that's gravity. Maybe that is acceleration. Maybe that's deceleration. Maybe it's those kinds of things. But then time changes and your perspective of time is going to be different to you than it is to somebody else. And we begin to ponder that around 100 years ago. Well, one of the things that I can tell you that time is relevant to is actually the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because time was created for the purposes of redemption. Time is the only place that you can say that was then, this is now, and this is what the future is going to be. And I can tell you that the closer and closer that we get to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his glorious and his imminent return, time is actually speeding up. Or as it says in the book of Revelation, that those days will be shortened for the elect's sake. Okay, that is speaking of accelerated time. That means literally the day is shorter than what it used to be. And that means that there's a tremendous advantage for those of us who are redeemed. And when it comes to the acceleration of time, the sad news is that there's never been a day that you can get so screwed up so fast as this day. The good news is that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And there's never been a day, never, that you can get into a sweet spot of mastery, of fruitfulness, of victory, never so quickly as this day. There's a grace for that. Other kinds of time that I discovered and we put in our book is like there's a difference between timelines and time circles. Timelines is the Bible calls those times, and it has a beginning and an end. It's linear and it's always centered around an epic event. There was the time me and Leanna got married. There was the time Leanna had twins. There was the time when all my kids were in my house, and now I'm in the time where all my kids have moved out of the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I have moved into the time of my 7 grandchildren. Hallelujah. So times are linear, has a beginning and has an ending, and there's always centered around some epic event. But seasons are cyclical. So there are timelines and there are time circles. Okay, a cyclical form of prophetic timelines is something that will be repeated over and over and over again, and it just kind of looks like this. This is what it looks like. And that means that seasons are meant to be incredibly predictable. As a matter of fact, you have the responsibility of knowing if it's one season, what the next season is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it lists 28 times and seasons that are in there, beginning with a time to be born and ending with a time of peace. Psalms 37:37, mark the perfect and the upright man, for his end shall be peace. The ending is always peace. What is peace? It's when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Okay, there are other kinds of time as well. There is redeemed time. And in redeemed time, we are gaining everything. The kingdom is coming. There, in a non-redeemed flow of time, we are losing everything. So the Bible gives us all different kinds of time. And I love talking about that kind of stuff. Can you tell I'm passionate about it? As soon as I start talking about it, like, okay, dude, this is so awesome. But I have a special guest that's about to join me today that's going to introduce us four new lenses of time that I've never heard of before. And he and I were discussing this morning, and I was like, dude, let's do the prophetic life together. Actually, Prophetic Wednesday together. Guys, the guy that I'm about to introduce is a brother by the name of Drew Neal, and he's the founder of Solutionary Ventures, and that's all about an ecosystem supporting kingdom entrepreneurs. He has worked with prime ministers. He has worked in 18 different countries throughout the world, including attorney generals. We're talking about legit billionaires, and then yahoos like me, people that really have their act together, and other folks' struggle. He's here today with one of his struggling brothers, and I'm so happy that he's here because he's all about the cause of purpose within commerce. He's all about bringing the kingdom and making this happen. Guys, this is my very good friend, Brother Drew Neal. Hello, Drew. What's up, brother?
Hello there, Troy. Good to see you, my friend.
I'm so glad you're here, man. Thank you so much for joining me, man.
Happy to be here, and love the topic today. This is going to be great.
It is going to be great. So listen, before we get off into this, man, tell us a little bit about you. Give me a short synopsis of who you are and what you're doing, what part of the world you live at, and do that first.
Yeah, come on. Well, I send greetings from my wife, Melissa. We are celebrating our 19th wedding anniversary here in a couple weeks, which Yay. Is pretty cool. We've got five little Neals running around, four boys and a girl. We just got that little girl 10 months ago, which Wowzers. Is really exciting. Finally, we got four boys and a girl. So little Hallie Marina is a joy right now. And so we're living life, man, being purposeful. And, you know, so I exist to help, you know, leaders grow by discovering wise and innovative solutions for their greatest challenges. And so whether I'm working in business or in government or in the church, ultimately I'm working with founders and I'm bringing wisdom and innovation into their space so that we can make sure that leaders are able to live in their purpose and to really solve, you know, the greatest problems in the world. And so I'm very passionate to want to understand how can the gospel solve the world's greatest problems. And so I'm calling people who are motivated to do this, kingdom entrepreneurs, founders of organizations, whether for-profit or nonprofit, I'm calling them solutionaries. And so I've built a whole ecosystem. I've got a whole stack of services, consulting, mentoring programs available for entrepreneurs who want to specialize, kingdom entrepreneurs who want to specialize as a solutionary and find out what problem their purpose solves and then lead or build their organization from that revelation of purpose as Christ moves through me. And so, man, I've got the joy of, I've worked in first world nations, second world nations, solving problems at a governmental level, at an entrepreneurial level, but ultimately it's at a people level. And so it's exciting to be here with you today and hopefully encourage people that are leaders wanting to go out and let God move through them with wisdom and innovation so that we can solve the world's problems with the power of the gospel.
Okay. Well, you know what? You've been a friend of mine for a while. You and I have done a lot of ministry together. We've done a lot of life together. And you're actually here with me this week. And you and I are trying to bring simple solutions to complicated issues. You're one of my go-to guys, one of my main go-to guys of, okay, help me map this out. How do I do that? You're part of the counsel that the Lord has given me. And I just can't tell everybody who's watching this how valuable your friendship has been to me and just what you bring to the table, man. It gives me great hope. It really and truly does.
Oh, thank you, Troy. And man, you know, it's, we're a tribe, right? And yeah. We're all better together. And man, you're saying all this nice stuff about me, Troy. I'm so inspired by your gift of faith, man. I mean, you believe for such big things. I love that. It inspires me. Your motivation for people is so pure and authentic, man. And it's why there's so much grace on what you're doing. And so, man, and whenever we get together, we both walk away better, and it's really exciting.
So you have a book, and I shouldn't say a book. You have, because it's not a book, which, by the way, bro, you need a book. You need a book. You really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do. But you've got some next level teaching that you do and some stuff that you've written out and you mapped out. And one of these things has to do with the lens that you and I are talking about today of time. And when you said that, it just blew my mind. I was like, dang. Okay, well, let's do that then. Mm-hmm. And tell me how you got into this. Tell me what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and then tell me what they are.
Yeah, certainly. So I don't have a book, but I do have a framework. And so I have a mentoring platform that's basically, you know, an introduction into this idea of getting out of, you know, the motivations that typically motivate us to do the things that we do. And if we want to talk about purpose, most people, when we talk about purpose, they want to know, what am I supposed to do? So this motivation is highly functional. And, you know, in the world, the motivation is, how do I make more money? In the kingdom of God, people start to talk about, well, how do I start ministry? And we have kind of these core, kind of common motivators. And I really believe that there is an understanding in our identity that if we're able to master our identity, that we can discover purpose. And when purpose becomes a motivator, there's a cause and effect functionally that happens. Essentially, defining who we are and why we exist is more important than defining what we're going to do. But most people have a hard time understanding who they are and why they exist uniquely. And we know it kind of corporately, as, you know, I'm a son or I'm a daughter, and we kind of interact with these. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. And so this is really the exploration of my last name in the kingdom. But what's my first name in the kingdom? I know that who I'm from, but what was the unique thing that God had on his mind when he made me that allows me to bring a unique piece of heaven to the earth? And so when we start to explore who we are and why we exist, we begin to understand that there's a problem that I was meant to solve. There's an aspect of heaven. My purpose solves a problem in the earth. And so, you know, this framework that I've created is, you know, the first few steps we take is really in, before we get into organizational identity, we need to have a revelation of our personal identity so that we can understand what our purpose is. And so as I walk people through purpose mastery, we really begin to ask this question, well, what did God have in his mind when he made me in my hindsight? Everyone wants to know in our foresight where we're going. But oftentimes when we ask the question, what is my purpose? Where am I going? What am I going to do? We really just, we have a conversation from a foresight perspective. And so, you know, one of the things I want to talk to you about today, you know, Troy, is that I believe if we're going to know where we're going and understand what our purpose is, that we have to have not just a revelation of our foresight, but we need four lenses to move from to master purpose so that we have an authentic and truly an altruistic understanding of purpose as a motivator. And so we need, number one, a foresight understanding, but the context for that has to be in our hindsight and in our insight and then in our oversight, so that we can accomplish the thing that we see in our foresight. And so there's something, you know, I think about it, you know, Troy, that, you know, context is really powerful. You know, Troy, I love your story, man, of where you've come from and what you've overcome and what you're pioneering and you've come from something, you know, and that's significant in the journey of determining where you're going to go. And when you have that redeemed perspective, you know, I love what you do in your book, because you're talking about how can we redeem the things that were painful. Well, not only can we can redeem it, but also we can understand what was happening in that moment. And I, you know, we talk about these painful moments, you know, that we have to overcome in our hindsight. Well, how does that hindsight, redeemed hindsight, impact how I determine where I'm at today in my insight? You know, and then how do I govern time in oversight so that I can get to that foresight understanding? I believe there is a prophetic understanding. There is a redemptive point of view. There is a prophetic lens that I need for the future that's based off of where I came from, because God made me the right way the first time.
Come on.
You know, I in my hindsight, I got to understand in my nature, God made me the right way. But in my nurture, I had an experience along the way that was confronting my real identity. It was confronting the things I was operating in. It was confronting. And ultimately, your most painful moment is the moment where your identity was told no by the enemy. And you had to overcome that moment. And, you know, Troy, I found so many people are unwilling to go back and engage those moments because they believe that that's commentary on who they are. No, that's commentary on who the enemy was scared of you becoming. And when you go back in your hindsight and you understand the enemy's strategy, was it painful? Yes. But that painful moment, even your failure, the things you're responsible for, or you're a victim to, or you were betrayed, or something was taken from you. It doesn't matter what the enemy's strategy was. The enemy's trying to get you to believe that you are not who God says you are. He's trying to nurture your nature in that moment. And if we don't go back and do inventory, and we don't go back and try to overcome, we will miss out on the context of where I've come from so that I can understand the coordinates of where I'm at today so that then I can build a plan about how to get to the future that I see, right?
Wow.
And so when we have a four-lens view of foresight, hindsight, insight, and oversight, I'm able to take a full 360 view from a prophetic point of view because the prophetic isn't fortune-telling. The prophetic is a redemptive view of how God has seen me through time, from the beginning and at the end. But I have to partner with God today in insight and in oversight, which is the governance of time. Insight is wisdom about where I'm at. Oversight is the governance of time to get me from where I'm at today, considering where I've come from, to then get me to that future point. And so when I can begin to govern time, have dominion over time, I can begin to move with full confidence of knowing what is the next step I need to take to get into that future place.
Okay, so you just said something amazing. The prophetic isn't fortune telling. It's what? What did you say that the prophetic is?
Well, the prophetic is the revelation of who I am in Christ at every season of my life, from the beginning to the end.
Right on. Right on.
And so, and this is really where we get into the theme for today, living in the tension of faith and wisdom. Faith is very future. Mm-hmm. And Troy, we all know so many great prophetic people. You and I are both prophetic. We know, like, we've got the joy of spending time with the most prominent prophetic voices in the earth. And it's interesting because, you know, when we think about the prophets, we all want to try to understand the future. Let's just be honest. The future sells because people want to predict, they want to anticipate the future. But what I found is that many prophets can get over leveraged, especially if they're just getting developed. They can get over leveraged on foresight and lack wisdom because they're not considering how to interpret the future from a hindsight, insight, and oversight lens. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really good. So yeah, exactly right. So I say this all the time and when I'm doing TV or radio or whatever, when people ask me, you know, what is the prophetic? I said, you have to know that it is the truest heart of God. It's about tapping into the heart of the Lord. It is not about it is not about fortune telling. It is not about predicting every single move of everything that's going to happen because there's so many different variables. It's about being able to map out God's heart and God's voice in the midst of so many, in the midst of so many variables. As we traverse through our own timeline, if we say, okay, I'm okay with thinking about the right now, but I'm not okay with looking into the future because I can't bear to look into my past because it's so hideous and horrible. And by the way, I can't bear to think about the oversight about how God views my life because he's more like, you know, he's like Odin and he's not like the father, or he's like some other, you know, some other Greek god or something, or he's mad at me or whatever. If we don't get this one thing right, If we don't get our perspective of our identity as far as insight and foresight and hindsight and oversight, if we don't get this one thing right, we will live our entire life in such a way as Deuteronomy describes, in the morning you'll see I wish it was evening, and in the evening you'll see I wish it was morning, and you will always walk in the curse of being out of sync of your timing.
Well, and that's Our timing is not just future oriented. And I love what you're saying there, because it is a trap, you know? And I think it's a very disempowering trap, in the sense of, if you only have a value on future time, then you're living according to your latest revelation of what you perceive to be the future. Yes. Ultimately, God, you know, Jesus redefined the relationship with his kids and John 15, right? Yes. He's like, hey, the Father, I'm representing the Father here. And I want you to know that we no longer see you as slaves. We see you as friends. Yep. Because a friend knows what the master is doing. And that term of redefinition speaks into sonship. It speaks into maturity. Yeah. And what I found is, many Christians, you know, if they only have a foresight lens and they don't want to engage their hindsight, they don't want to redeem that timeline, they don't want to go and see where God was with them in the most painful moments, they will literally be stuck like a puppet on a string, waiting for the next motion to happen to them. And they end up actually becoming a victim to their faith rather than living in an empowerment of being a mature son. Because when you're a mature son, you can think like your heavenly Father, because you know what the Father's about to do. And so when you have context for the pattern of what God's been doing in your life, there's a pattern in our hindsight, even in our brokenness, even in our sin, God was moving and redeeming us. God was preparing us. God was shaping us out of context. You know, Moses was raised in the palace out of context to become a deliverer. Joseph was raised out of context in the prison, you know, being, you know, wrongfully accused and misguided and forgotten. He was prepared to become a governor. Jesus was prepared as a rabbi to become the savior of the world out of context. Paul was created out, was developed out of context as a Pharisee to become the greatest leader of the New Testament church. I mean, there are so many things in our hindsight that we miss out on when we say, well, that was painful, or that was sin, or that was failure. No, God is, he redeems all things and he gets you ready. He wastes nothing. And the enemy wants you to believe that there is nothing redemptive about your past. And if you don't know your past, though, you're not going to know where you're at. And if you don't know where you're at, you don't know what the first step is to move into that future. And so the enemy wants you destabilized. He wants you disempowered. He wants you thinking that your next rhema is the only thing you have to work on, when God made you in the beginning, fearfully and wonderfully made in his image and in his likeness, which means there's something inside of you that has what it takes to be who you need to be today as you move towards that future.
You know what you're talking about? You're talking about, number one, let me just stop. Say, that was awesome, bro. That's awesome. And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And I want to tell you what you're actually talking about in the natural is like solving the longitude issue. Okay. So everything is measured, you know, latitude and longitude, right? And you can measure latitude according to the sun if you know what time of year it is, but you cannot measure longitude unless you know what time it is where you came from and what time it is where you're at. That's how you measure where you're at around the circle of the earth. Longitude was actually discovered by, was actually solved. The longitude problem was actually solved by a guy by the name of John Harrison. And he was a part of the Royal Observatory in England. And all he had to have was a clock that worked on the ocean, Drew, because clocks didn't work on the ocean back then. And for more than 200 years, there was a challenge by the British Royal Observatory. Anybody can solve the longitude problem, we will give them a mint. And people went after it for hundreds of years before John Harrison piped up and said, I found a clock that doesn't work according to springs. It doesn't work according to how it moves. And it'll work actually on an ocean. And then what happened is, when you get out, because God Almighty created the earth, Drew, to be 24,000 miles around, and there's 24 hours in a day, and the world turns at exactly 1,000 miles an hour as it goes around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. It's actually turning at 1,000 miles an hour. And what that means is this: if you're out in the ocean and you look up and go, okay, that great ball of the sun has stopped, that means it's 12 o'clock. Oh, look, I got a clock and I can tell where I've been and what time it is there. It's 3. That means I am 3,000 miles away from England. If it's 3 o'clock there and 12 o'clock here, I'm 3,000 miles away. And so, in other words, God Almighty designed things to say, if you don't have a right bead and a right lens on what you came out of, You will never know where you're at right now, and you do not have a place to go in front of you. You will never be able to map it out.
That's exactly it. And I love that picture. And I think that's amazing. If we had a marker board, you know, I draw an arc, a story arc, you know, and Everyone always thinks they're in the ground. They never think of themselves in motion or in process. Yeah. And, you know, you're not on the ground starting from ground zero. You're actually on a trajectory right now. You're right in the middle of the air, and we're trying to hit a target over here. And I think these pictures go so well because we have to know not just where we're coming from. Yes, we need that, but we got to know, well, where has it brought me to today so that I can plot my course. And here's the thing. I've met some people who only have foresight and they're just lost. And then you meet some people who are like, well, let me redeem my timeline and let me know where I come from. And now they have a testimony. So now they're armed and dangerous, but they still don't have coordinates, right? So then once you find your coordinates, the next thing is, well, now I know where I'm at. I know who I am. I know what I've overcome. I know what I'm going for. How do I get there? And that right there, it lies the rub of faith and wisdom. Because you might be healthy enough to overcome your past. You might know who you are today, and you might have faith for the future, but how do you get there? And I really believe that, you know, faith believes and aligns for the future, but wisdom plots a course. This is that oversight piece, right? This is that wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. This is that structure, that strategy that says, hey, you know what? It might make sense, depending on how the wind is blowing, depending on what weather system is coming, that I don't go in a straight line. We need to go east before we go straight so that we can go around this thing. Wisdom says, faith says we're going this way and this is where we want to arrive. Wisdom says this is how we're going to get there. And I've seen a lot of people right now who they prophesy in proportion to their faith, but they never engage in the wisdom to understand the process or the oversight. This is the governance of time on how to get from where I'm at into the place where we're going. And I believe, Troy, that there's an outpouring of supernatural wisdom, supernatural strategies that God is wanting to release even right now here on this broadcast. And he's wanting us to have supernatural strategies that we would know how to get from where we're at into the place that we know that we see by faith. I have hope. Something good's coming in the future. By faith, I declare what that thing is, but it's by wisdom that I actually get there and I attain it. And I just even release it right now. I believe there's a restoration of words of wisdom, supernatural blueprints, supernatural strategies that we would know what the next step is. We would know what the next five steps are, and that we would partner with Holy Spirit to know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to realize the thing that we have faith for. And I tell you what, if we can reconcile our faith and our wisdom, understanding that faith hands off to wisdom, we're going to begin to realize impact, transformation in the world like we've never seen before.
There's actually a scripture that describes what you're talking about. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And Ephesians 1, 17 is talking about this faith and wisdom thing. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we're talking about a spirit of not just wisdom, but also radical revelation in faith. Not just radical revelation and faith, but also wisdom, a spirit to actually join these two together. And, you know, I've been guilty of both. I've been guilty of being a hyper spiritual, which I can't help but be because I'm passionate about King Jesus. And I love that. But actually just stretching out in my faith because I'm a big faith guy of let's just take on hell with the water pistol. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. But if I do not apply the spirit of knowledge and of the spirit of wisdom that goes with that, I can't map it out for everybody to go with me. And it's like, it's one of the things that I've just recently had a big talk with my grandson about Christopher Columbus. And the school that he was in, didn't speak very well of him. And I was like, hey, listen, let me tell you what's cool about Christopher Columbus. It's true that he wasn't the first person that ever came to this part of the world. Absolutely true. There were Vikings, there were Jews, there were all kinds of people groups from all over the world that actually came here. But he's the first guy to map it out so that everybody else could come. He's the first guy. And see, it's one thing to achieve something, but it's another thing to map it out so that everybody else can say, that's the blueprint I want to follow to be able to have my dreams come true. And if we do not have our perspective, if we're not aware through the lens of the Holy Spirit of who we are in our past, on our best days and our worst days, you know, King David said, even if I make my bed in hell, there you are. And he said, if I make my bed in hell, it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm sleeping in hell tonight. Jesus is like, yeah, I've stayed here before. I'll just crawl in bed with you. He's like, dude, you're still here. What are you doing there? I can't believe it. Uh-huh. And if we do not partner with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we see our identity in him, through him, for him, all that in our past, our present, and our future, if we can't do that, we'll never be able to, everything that we do will be spontaneous, and we will lose the breakthroughs that are meant to be building blocks for the next breakthrough and the next breakthrough and the next breakthrough, not just for us, but for everybody around us.
Man, that's so powerful, Troy. And I think there's, you know, we have to make ourselves available, you know, to this upgrade. You know, this is possible for us. This is something that we got to commit our lives to and saying, you know what, there is a way, there is a blueprint. That's that duplicatable piece, right? Yes. Isn't it interesting? You know, in Ephesians, it goes on to talk about the fact that the five gifts of Christ are for the equipping of the saints.
That's right.
It's not, you know, we love the frontiersmen, you know, yes, but the one that equips others to do the frontiering work is more valuable than even the person who figured out how to frontier in the first place. That's right. And so it doesn't devalue that, but it, once again, it's about an altruistic or a holistic approach. We need that 360 degree view because we actually got to duplicate this thing. That the it's impossible to be kingdom and not be multiplying.
No.
If you're not multiplying what you're doing, you're not kingdom, because the kingdom is only meant to multiply things.
Oh,
and so if we don't have multiplication as part of our strategy of growth and what we're building and what we're leading, then it's impossible to say that God's involved, because that God is into multiplication. And so, and I think that sustainability piece is there, right? It's about saying, hey, how can I hand it off as a father to my kids and my kids' kids' kids? It opens up that responsibility piece. It opens up that sustainability conversation, which is so important. And I love that Christopher Columbus example, because while he may not be the first, he was the first to empower others to do exactly what he did. Yep. And there's nothing more near the heart of God than that exact principle.
He made it reproducible. That's what he did. And everybody can call him the devil if they want to. And that's what always happens when you do that. And when you unleash that on the planet, say, here's the map. And everybody goes, go. Okay. Well, that's kingdom. That is hardcore kingdom. Hey, listen, before we finish up here, man, would you please pray for us? Would you please speak a blessing on us? And man, let's believe God for this. Would you just take it from here?
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, there's an international discipling nations grace on my life. And I believe that nations are groups of people, and every group of people has a challenge right now across the earth. These challenges are being elevated, right? And we're realizing that we need the power of the gospel in the nations to solve our problems within our nations, within our people groups, within our sphere of influence, within our family, within our community, within our government, education systems. You know, and so I just want to pray for you right now that wisdom, which is a supernatural blueprint. We're not talking about our wisdom. We're talking about divine wisdom, supernatural wisdom, God's wisdom, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is words of wisdom. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, that in the same way we prophesy, in the same way we work miracles, in the same way we discern spirits, in the same way we speak in tongues, in the same way we have all these nine gifts, in the same way we do these other eight, words of wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit that we can desire, Paul said. We can desire spiritual gifts. And so if you're hungry for words of wisdom right now, I just want you to open up your heart. I'm going to pray for you. I've had two dynamic encounters with the person of wisdom in my life that have opened this thing up, but it doesn't make me special. It makes me want to be a person like Christopher Columbus that wants to create a blueprint and a map on how we access divine wisdom. And so right now, I just declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I ask for permission and courage to desire the restoration of words of wisdom, supernatural blueprints, supernatural strategies, God, that we would have a hunger, Lord, not just to believe for the outcome, not just believe in a hope for our future, but that, Lord, we would know the strategy on how to get from where we are right now into that place. Father, that we could steward the process, that we would know you've not wasted anything, that you've gotten us ready for this moment so that we could push forward into the thing that you have for our life. Father, I declare wisdom and courage right now, Lord, to go after asking this powerful question, as James said, that if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask. So Father, right now, we ask for divine wisdom. I ask for a new anointing. I ask for our eyes to be open, that insight and oversight would come to us in a new and fresh way in Jesus' mighty name. I declare clarity. I declare insight. I declare permission to advance as a son, as a daughter of the King, that, Lord, we are not disempowered. We're not waiting on the next prophetic word, but God, we are realizing that we live in connection to you, in your heart, that we can be led of your Spirit one step at a time, living in the process, living in the blueprint to get us to the point of why you made us. Father, I release that blessing right now in Jesus' mighty name, that our eyes would be opened in insight and oversight, in divine wisdom, in a new and powerful way, that God would have that strategy to live out our purpose and to realize the very best that you have for us, but not just for us, but through us as we bring that blessing to the world around us. Lord, I declare that everyone watching right now is not a problem. They are a solution. They're not in the way of the plan of God. They are the plan of God. I declare God doesn't want to just do something to you. God wants to do something through you. You are the strategy of how heaven comes to earth, and I release you with blessing and permission to go be the solution of the gospel in the earth today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen.
Wowzers. My goodness. Well, listen, I received that, dude. I'm all about it. I'm like, come on, Jesus. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm like, I need some more of that. That's what I need. Brother Drew Neal, I'm so grateful for you, man. If people want to find out how to get a hold of you or follow your ministry and all that you do, how do they do that?
You know, I would just encourage people. I run a community for founders, innovators, kingdom entrepreneurs, builders. If you have the builder, architect anointing and you want to go change the world, join my monthly community. It's called Solutionary Accelerator. You can go to solutionaryaccelerator.com. We meet every month. We do a lot of mindset work, really converging your spiritual, emotional, and financial intelligence. And I believe we can get you thinking correctly from those three points of view, that it'll change the outcomes of your life and how you lead your organization, whether you're a for-profit or a nonprofit. And so I've got a great panel of advisors. I've got Silicon Valley disruptors. I've got, you know, entrepreneurship leaders. I've got church leaders. We've got great kingdom marketers. We've got kingdom corporate problem solvers. And we're getting together. So you get the panel, you'll get discussions, you get Q&A, you'll get mindset training, you get great content from me. And of course, group tanks and community. So go to solutionaryaccelerator.com. Would love for you to be a part of that. And we'll see you there.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for joining us today, man. I am so grateful for you and I call you blessed. What a great word, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Troy, for having me on today, and bless everyone watching.
Thank you so much. Well, friends, you have been watching my good friend, Brother Drew Neal. Brother Drew Neal has been with us today, and we would definitely have to have him back. Hey, let me tell you something else, too, that's cool. If you want some resources regarding timelines, how to redeem your timeline, how to do this kind of stuff, if you will help me and standing with Israel, and also too in helping me save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking all over the world, I have put together a bundle for you. I want to show this to you. Let's see here. I have, what all do I have? I have a Redeeming Your Timeline basic bundle, includes the book, the study guide, the DVD, the prayer card. And this basic bundle is if you give $70 or more. And this also includes shipping is what this does. And friends, it's a special offer that we're doing today because we're doing a huge campaign. We are renovating bomb shelters in all over Israel right now. And we're even buying mobile bomb shelters. So we've actually been able to give away $60,000 in less than a week and send that to the nation of Israel. 100% of that 60 grand, 100%. I'd like to keep doing that. I also have a team of world changers that's in the nation of Belize right now. And they are down there working with all of our teams that are rescuing boys and girls out of sexual trafficking, that are educating girls, working at our birthing clinic that is down there, helping all of our special needs kids that are all over there, building freedom houses in the midst of all that. I just had another team that just got back from the nation of Nicaragua, where you and I are actually feeding more than 100,000 people a month in one nation. 100 grand. That's how many people we're feeding in one nation. Our food banks, again, if we want to keep people out of sexual trafficking, we got to feed them. We got to help them. We can't, we got to do whatever we can do to bring security into their life and to actually answer this great evil with the goodness of God. Stand with me. Simply call 877-413-0888 right now. My friends are standing by right here on this campus. We have our own communication center. You can call us or you can go to troybrewer.com. But if you call us and say, you know what, I want to give at least $70 today and I'd like this big giant bundle on all the cool stuff that goes with Redeeming Your Timeline, we'll actually give that to you for free today. Oh yeah. All right, guys. That's all the time that I have for today. I'm so grateful for everybody that has dialed in from all over the world. I love you guys. I call y'all the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly, highly, highly favored of the Lord. I'll see you again next week on Prophetic Wednesday. God bless you guys.